Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here are your hosts, the one and only Dr. Payray and the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Cheers. We're recording live from Miami. We got a whole crew here. Rusty, start us off, and y'all just go in a circle and introduce yourselves.
What's up? I'm Rusty Fitton. I'm practicing outside
Chicago.
What's
your Instagram name?
Rustoleum.
At Rustoleum.
Yeah, kind of like the paint with two L's, I guess.
I just think that we should do that now. We should start introducing ourselves and then our Instagram name.
Yeah, at Rustoleum. I don't do like TikTok or none of that stuff.
Okay, on that note, I just started a TikTok.
Did you?
We have an office TikTok, and I've told my team I will do whatever they want. Whatever they want me to do, I will do. I'm going to try it for a month and see how
Do you have staff that are like into that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's how it came about was we have one girl who like keeps getting in trouble for being on TikTok. And so I was like, you know what? Perfect. We're going to use this against you. We're going to make you in charge of our office TikTok. And you can make me do whatever you want me to do. Make me TikTok famous.
There you go. Yeah. So I do part-time at an office. Julie Davis is her name. I don't know what her TikTok name is. Probably Julie Davis. She crushes it on TikTok. Just did like a random baby sign language. She's a dentist, but did like a random baby sign language video.
Dude, there's something to this.
And it went viral. And she like, I worked there a Friday a month, and she came in. She's like, I got like 4 million views. What do I do?
I didn't expect this to be about TikTok, but I'm glad.
So she rolls with it, and she crushes it on TikTok. So she does really well.
I'm Tim Anderson.
Tim Anderson DDS.
Tim Anderson DDS. I don't have a fancy Rustoleum creative Instagram, I guess, but
you guys still got a great gram, though.
You know, great gram. You know, it's we're here and
long time
like,
follower,
right? We come to this, and I'm like, I know you, but I don't know you because we just know each other.
But now we know each other.
Now we got a face. But yeah, no, I'm in Bismarck, North Dakota, so it's a lot colder there than here in Miami.
It's rainy in Miami, but anyways,
we'll take it.
Last but not least,
Corey Glenn.
CG.
A dentist who does not do dentistry.
Do you have an Instagram account?
I do.
What is at Corey Glenn, right?
In Corey Glenn.
In. Now, do you have a TikTok?
Do you post more deer hunting?
Huh?
Do you post a lot of dental on your Instagram?
You know, I'm just now starting. I've
been behind
on the Instagram. Yeah, most of it's been redneck posts, but I'm about to start posting more dental related stuff. So
I think it would be great.
I've been more Facebook. But that gets all the old heads, so I'm trying. And then we're working on a TikTok, and Ben does most of our TikTok dances.
Really?
For Transcendental, yeah.
I got to talk to
Amazing
Ben about
dancer.
TikTok.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously, if you listen to the show, if you're on Instagram, we have three very popular doctors here who do a lot of awesome things for dentistry and clinical dentistry. So what do we want to talk about?
We should talk about Corey's new education center.
I definitely want to hear about Corey's new education center. Let's start with that. Corey, tell us about what you're doing. Obviously, people have known Corey from a lot of different, you know, Facebook. Talk about your new education center.
Yeah, so we, I guess for about 5 years, I've just been doing a lot of courses since I kind of had to get out of clinical due to the back issues. So been doing a lot of courses and was missing the clinical aspect, so wanted to scratch that itch. So myself and Dr. Ben Kellum and Brian Correa have just started Transcend Dental Education. So we bought a big facility in Huntsville, Alabama, and basically has three components. It's got a lab, so we do a lot of full arch guides for people, stackable, full arch, whatever. And we'll add more lab services as we go, but that's mainly what we're doing right now. And then we've got,
so is the goal to be like almost like a lab too on some level? Like, do y'all want to manufacture and fabricate things for people?
To some degree. Yeah. I mean, guided surgery is kind of my wheelhouse. So
right.
if anything, I feel like I can do that as good as anyone. We do the guides and eventually we'll
What are you going to charge for a guide? Do you know yet?
Like for this stackable system, I think it's about $3,500, which includes duplicates of everything, bone reduction guide, drill guide, temp, all that. So $3,500, which a little cheaper than most of the stackable systems out there. We don't require you to do a final or anything, but eventually we will do that if people want it. We've got all the lab capabilities to do whatever you want.
Well, I think that'll be the challenge there because, I mean, so the, what, most rows, what, $5,000, $6,000?
Yeah, that, it's hard to get a gauge on what their price is
because like
usually
five,
they include,
$6,000.
I think it's like
including the final,
66 or 7,000, including the final. But, you know,
this
at least
stuff's all, this stuff's so hard to price.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I think it's hard to price is because more and more of it's coming down to design. Everything comes down to design. And like here we are at the printing course. And printing's easy, printing's straightforward, materials are here, the printers are here, people have scanners. The manufacturing parts is now obviously there's a staining, glazing, and post-processing that is unique. But other than that, it's the design that becomes the expensive part. So it's hard to price out because basically you're pricing out, well, how quickly can Corey design this stuff?
Yeah, well, that's so what gets that exciting, though, because then you start taking Corey out of it because one of the things they keep talking about here is all the AI.
Correct.
So that's, I think, might
well,
be where you're getting
becomes,
to. That
it
gets
does
awesome.
It does get interesting from a lab standpoint, and I was interviewing Justin McElroy and Nikolai from Detroit Dental Labs earlier, and I was asking that question because, like, for me, if I'm sitting there as a lab, you know, the writing on the wall is that AI can replace a lot of this, and then if printing keeps going where it's going, which is materials are better and better and better, then that's plug and play.
You add some robots, and we're out of the job.
Yeah, the thing is, right now though, all the AIs are focused on. You know, as AI introduces into dentistry, it's got to focus on the easiest stuff first. So it'll be single crowns, it'll be night guards, it'll be, you know, even like Blue Sky's.
No, you're not wrong. You're not. Yeah, that's true.
So like Blue Sky, I just got a development build of a AI-driven single tooth. It plans the implant and designs a guide. Full arch, the learning curve is incredibly steep. So I think we're a lot of years away from that being AI driven. So ultimately, if you're doing full arch right now, at least you need the know-how of having done those cases, seen them, how the prosthetics work and all that. So that's why with our lab, we're only three guys, right? So
we're
not doing volume. We're not competing with Glidewell. We're trying to focus on the things that right now require incredible input. And we're all three dentists. So we've done that stuff. We know it. That's why we're focusing on that mostly.
Do you guys, Corey, will you guys do finals? So if you have a stackable guide,
yeah, we will.
Because I would think that's the next evolution.
We're not marketing that heavily yet. You know, so we've got a lab, an education center, and then a clinic. But the clinic is more or less a nonprofit, so we'll do it for real poor folks. You know, full arch stuff for like $5,000 or less, or free in courses if you're coming to learn to place implants. But you know, we're waiting for the clinic to be finished before we can really do that. I want to do a bunch of them and really dial it in before I start trying to promote that to other people. So right now, if you ask us, we'd do it, but we're not marketing that. But guides, absolutely. I mean, full arch guides is kind of our main wheelhouse.
Tim, what do you think about all this? What do you think about this weekend?
You know, it's fun. We're, you know, Rusty and I were talking about how you start getting around like-minded people here and the environment here and the excitement, it reminds me of, you know, like the best dental meeting meets an Apple keynote. I mean, it's like,
that's a good,
it just has this energy of people that are like-minded that are like, all right, this gets me really excited to see where we're going, how we can impact our patients, how the technology is going to continue to evolve, and to have a company that really supports our vision of what we want to achieve.
It's like Sirona World, but you don't even have to join a cult.
It's a cheaper cult.
Former cult follower.
Former?
Why'd you leave the cult?
I'm still in the cult, I guess.
Can you ever leave?
So I am with you, man. What we were just talking about. Like,
that cult built us.
That's exactly what Rusty and I were talking about.
Great German company. I've never known any Germans to lead many people astray, so I'm all about Sirona, so I've got nothing negative to say.
Well, you start looking at like technology that gets things moving, and all of us have a story of like what that one thing that really set us on our path and got us to that next level. And it doesn't mean that, you know, there's one size shoe to fit all, but there is something that ignites that spark, that gets things going, that gets us to where we are here today. And all of us have a different story, but I think a lot of us do have a similar background of the standpoint of like whether it was CAD CAM, in which I love, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love CAD CAM, but we also all being here know where we're going in the future.
Look, and at the end of the day, I would argue what pushed all this was Serac. I mean, when you go back 15 years, whether you hate it or not, Corey, that the reality was is that like being able to do same day restorations in the way that they did it did transform and push dentistry into where it's going. Now, I am with you. I think printing is the future. I don't think that there's too much negatives to milling and doing a lot of that stuff. So I think it's interesting, but you know,
they'll all have a place, right? I mean, they're all going to have their own applications.
And
we can live in a world where they all coexist, and in the future we'll sort that out.
And that to me is, I think, the big piece of the puzzle is shame on the companies who don't adapt and continue to innovate, move forward. And look, to me, the best part about this weekend, I've said it a couple times, has been that it is bringing people from printers are agnostic to how you got there. What STL that you, what scanner you took it from, what comb beam you got the scan from, what software you use. And so to me, one of the fun parts about this whole weekend has been that I get to hang out with Corey, you know, who I normally don't get to hang out with much because we live in different worlds, right? Of other technology and stuff. Or I get to see, you know, all of you. And so to me, I think that's what is cool about what SprintRay is doing. And look, there has been a lot of fun stuff coming out, but it's exciting.
Yeah, I think too, one of the biggest things you'll see is that SprintRay has focused on the dentist, where you have all these other companies who are kind of like, yeah, we do jewelry or we do these other applications. Right. We do dental a little bit on the side. SprintRay has gone down the road of, we're going to focus on dentists 100%.
Yeah, there's View Lee right there.
Yeah. What's up?
What's up, man? How are you?
No, they're focused on dentists 100%. So that, you know, you have these bleeding edge people that were messing around with mesh mixer and all these things.
Right.
That,
don't talk,
you know,
about mesh mixer. Now.
I'm not knocking it, but it's not for everyone.
I'll fight you.
I know you will. No, it's not for everyone. Or it's hard for the everyday dentist to understand. SprintRay is making it so easy. We're watching all these.
They've listened. I mean, that was like, it was annoying that at the time we had to take my CEREC data because it wasn't a closed model and I had to put it in mesh mixer and do it. It was something, it was a workaround. We said, hey, this is a problem. What do? One click fix.
Well, we couldn't even get STL exports forever.
Yeah, no
shit. So, but what I think that's most interesting though and exciting for us is that not only are they taking the input of the dentist, but it's happening at a speed and a rate that we haven't seen in other companies. Like we can all want something to change in another process of our practice, but if it takes 6, 12, 36 months for something to change, we've missed the boat. Where I think SprintRay is really moving forward and accelerating the speed at which things change. I mean, many of us just got, you know, the Pro 55 printer and they're already moving forward and innovating and changing and adopting and listening to the feedback of the users. And I think that's something that's really special about a company where we haven't always had that in a corporate setting in dentistry, which has been awesome.
Tim, what are you printing the most?
What am I printing most? Oh man. I would say, I mean, models probably are the, by volume, the most common. For
and
sure.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, you get it. I would argue you should get a printer because of models. Like to me, that's the one that's the most overrated, but it's the number one thing that most of us do print.
But I think from an ROI standpoint, night guards have been the most profitable. From sure. The standpoint of, you know, you look at the workflow, I don't do anything.
Correct.
I mean, I literally don't into.
Assistant
I don't do
scans,
anything.
Assistant,
my assistant designs. Like
it.
My assistants design, they scan, they deliver. I come in if there's an issue.
What are you designing with?
The bulk of them are with D3 Splint.
Yep.
And you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
It's a good product.
It's a good for me. My assistants know how to use it. We have it. And I get predictable results. Now, I do really like the concept of the cloud design where it becomes a one button click. And there are many instances, whether it's aligners or splints, where it becomes that push the button, have somebody else design it. You know, we've used Lab Pronto in the past too with Corey. And, you know, you get these workflows that fit the practice and the philosophy of the practice. And what I found is that in my workflow, sometimes, you know, you look at aligners, sometimes we'll have the company make the aligners. Sometimes we'll have them just design and we'll 3D print all the models and have the assistants. Other times we'll use Blue Sky or something like that to do everything ourselves. It's nice to have that a la carte option to fit the workflow to your practice. And that's something for me has been instrumental in moving us forward with the technology, is not having a one size fits all for every practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure it's like you got to find what you enjoy about it. Like some people love the design part of it, or having more hands on with it. Other people love the fact that, like, you know, they were showing today, you literally click a button and 5 minutes later you get a night guard. I mean, so that excites some people. So I think depending on whatever excites you within dentistry, it literally fills all niches now. Like the doors have been blown wide open.
You know, we don't discuss that. One of the big challenges, or not challenges, one of the things that pisses me off a lot is that you get on Facebook or you get on wherever and people will ask about a technology or an equipment or whatever it is, or a workflow, and they'll say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this product or this workflow? And then all of a sudden you get just like 1,000 responses of people that have, you know, either one, their biased opinions because they
own it.
They own it. They're partnered with them. They support them or whatever it is. But the big thing that annoys me is no one ever asks, what are your goals? Why do you want to do it? What are you trying? What problem are you trying to solve? And to me, I do think, like, kind of piggybacking off both of you, in that there are so many different ways to be successful printing. You can third party everything out all day long and just focus on the printing. You can also bring it in-house as much as you want and be as creative in the design and tinker as much as you want. And it can't, the answer is that what's best is it's different. Like, it's different for Corey, it's different from Tim, it's different for me. And what is the best workflow for you? And so I think that's just a pet peeve of mine, of like, who am I to say that some offices shouldn't farm everything out to third party? Who am I to say that they shouldn't bring it in every time? You know, because if I don't understand your goals and your perspective and why you want to do things, then it doesn't make sense for me to give you my perspective.
And at the end of the day, too, I mean, it's clear that everything's going digital, right? At 100%. Some point, you are still going to need physical models. How are you going to get them? Or, you know, temporaries, whatever. I mean, there will, at some point, you are still going to be needing to create stuff that's physical.
It was How are funny you today that? Was the, both Justin and Nikolai are at a point where, as labs, they're now firing doctors. They're dismissing them because of their lack of willingness to go digital. And for them, it's become more of a headache to deal with physical impressions. And so literally, they're no longer accepting they're no longer accepting analog workflow.
And I think you're going to start seeing that more and more as time progresses, because the lab industry as a whole
has dramatically changed.
And the volume of labs have changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're limited, just like we're limited on patients. Like, we can only see a certain number of people. So labs are going to be the same way. So if you're not playing in their world, it's not worth it for them to do that. And so you have to evolve and innovate. And, you know, we after talking with so many of these people here, what's really interesting for me is, and what's been really enjoyable, is that we haven't heard anybody like knock, like, oh, you shouldn't use this or you shouldn't use that. And there's this energy here where it's all about, like, we're moving forward, we're going to be faster, we're going to be better for your practice. And it's never been like, this is why we're better than X, Y, or Z. It's all tides rise, you know, bring all ships up. And it's really exciting to be a part of that here, which it's been a long time since I think we've all been to a meeting where it's like,
dude, I'm
excited.
It
just wasn't because T-Bone was jumping around on stage yelling and screaming. It was exciting because we're, you know, it's a really unique culture of people that are at this meeting.
And I'll tell you what I love about it. There's a little bit of a cockiness to it.
Oh, totally.
In that we don't have to talk about the competitors because we're going to make our product so much better and differentiate ourselves so much that, like, try and keep up.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little bit of, like, what I got today was just, like, I loved the mantra of just, like, there's a little bit of, like, hey, try and keep up with us. Like, we're going. And that's, I told D1 earlier, I was like, I'm glad that we're on the ship. you know, because all of us had opportunities to pick partners and companies and that we were going to work with and do our education with, and you know, the printers that we use in our practices. And it's like, I want to be on a winning team at the end of the day. And I feel like SprintRay is a winning team.
It is a winning team, because part of it is that their vested interest is in us as a profession. And that is something that is unique in the printing world, is that this event is tailored towards our profession and our patients. And that's something that we can stick behind, and it makes it really easy to get excited about, because there's nothing else like that.
I mean, you got lab techs and dentists in the same room that do the same thing, and they're not fist fighting with each other, right? I know. That's the best part. And, you know, again, it's everyone's like-minded. Everyone realizes that everyone has a place. And even people who buy printers still need labs for things.
They do.
That was essentially what labs thought initially when Sarah came out. It's like, oh, how's whoa. This, you know, yeah. And again, the smart ones realize that, hey, this is just another opportunity for us to get, you know, involved with the dentist in a different way.
But wouldn't you agree, this stuff is fun? I mean, that's the one thing, like when I talk to clinicians about printing, it's the one piece of technology I'm like, I just don't understand why you can argue against adopting in your practice. Because
you can't if you know what you're talking about.
I mean, but
the barrier of entry
is so low.
Like,
it's so low.
Yes.
What, you know, your ability to recoup that investment is so fast compared to everything else in digital dentistry. And it's a no-brainer to me. Like, the printer is as essential as like the Explorer in the mirror to me.
And especially as we go from the, we'll call it the first generation of just models, to now things that are printed to go directly in the mouth. So there's no fabrication off the models. It's printed to go directly in the mouth.
So Sully, you asked me like what I do volume wise, my apps, you know, volume I think is one thing, but what's your most enjoyable, like what do you enjoy printing the most? Like what gives you the most satisfaction?
Well, I get there's two things. One is surgical guides, because to me, what surgical guides solved was my lack of patience. I freehanded almost everything prior to printing, not because I didn't believe in guided surgery, but it was inconvenient to me to have guides. You know, I would have patients come in and they'd be like, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pay money. When can we do this? And I didn't want to have to like wait or go to the effort of like getting a guide and then getting it sent back. So like my history of guided surgery really never, it was basically non-existent until printing. And so what printing did for me was it made guided surgery convenient, which meant I went from 90% freehanded implants to 90% guided implants because of the convenience factor. And like, and that's kind of a sad thing to admit on some level, because I mean, clinically my dentistry is better doing guided surgery, but I it was inconvenient for me to do it, and so I did less of it.
Yeah. What are you doing
to
design your guide?
Day?
Right?
All right, I'm putting you in the hot seat, all three of you. So, you know, everybody who's not doing guided, their argument will be, I can do just as good a job freehand, and maybe 9 days out of 10, they're right. Have your results changed since guided? Have they been more consistent?
Dude, I can show you. I have a number 10 that I'm thinking of, where there was a ton of bone, didn't even think twice about it, drilled right through, and you take a cone beam on that, and like a third of the apex of the implant's out the bucket plate.
Well, at least you got the implant to stay, like to because I've out. Also
T-bone
done it where...
100% integrated.
I mean...
Yeah, T-bone is asleep.
Yeah.
Just sat down like
he's
3 minutes
He's got his pillow,
ago.
Though. Look at his pillow.
He is hugging a pillow, and there's 7 million people in here, and
you
it's
can
super
hear
loud, and he's asleep. And
it's like a sound machine. Really?
Yeah. Don't you guys teach, you know, sleep stuff at 3D dentists?
Well, a lot of sleep stuff.
Yeah. Well.
Yes or no, sleep dentistry is the worst thing to ever have to deal with.
Until you can print the prosthesis.
Well, no, it's great because to Tim's point, it's all team driven. So like my role in sleep's minimal, and it's a...
wrong. It's the worst.
It's a quarter million dollars a year.
Anything that doesn't involve my hands is a good thing. That's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest misnomer of implants is implants are awesome, but it still requires me. And so like, as much as like, yes, I'm profitable, like things that I'm doing that I'm not doing making money, that's the real profitable. Now, the challenge there is, like, again, it goes back to goals and what do you enjoy? We've all got this itch to tinker and do stuff. So to your point, what's the most fun thing I like printing now? It's making that jump to photogrammetry, to getting the iCam, to now doing, you know, now never converting a dadgum prosthetic again. I mean, no temp cylinders, none of that. You know, to me, that's like where what I'm excited about is I place my, like, you know, I'll use a tooth-borne guide or a, you know, or even a stackable guide. But then my prosthetic is throw on the iCam bodies, throw the scans, send them home, and we're doing, and then they come back in the next day and we just screw in the temp. So, like, now it's changing how I line up things, because now I'm like, well, gosh, I used to not like to do multiple surgeries in a day, like a dual arch and that'd be it. But now I'm like, well, if I don't have to do the conversion, I can line three to six arches.
How satisfying is that, though, when you get to do that? I mean, it is.
It's a game changer.
Oh.
Have you tried to do it same day?
I have. It's a long day.
Is it? How come?
Because he doesn't have Corey in his office.
I don't have a designer designing it. I mean, I got to.
So it's, you don't pre-designed. Have to. So, yeah, you pre-design it.
You pre-design it.
So the design's
it.
Done.
It still takes, the designers I've used, it's still taken. So I send them the files. It's at
there's
least,
your problem.
At least an hour.
So there's your problem. If you have exocad, you don't
Which
have
I
to
do.
Know exocad. If you can just learn that workflow, the wax-up's done. Now you take your iCam and you've got the corrected implant positions, and if you just feed it the data, it converts that wax up and just builds in now your perfect implant position. So hypothetically, if you can do that, and it's a really easy thing to do, it's a 10-minute process, and now you're ready to print it. So you could
Which
not
now
have to do the same the next day thing. You do it 40 minutes later, you know.
Yeah, because I'm cool with that. If I can do it in under an hour and a half, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh,
but waiting
for sure.
2 hours, you know, I just... The experience that I had was, okay, at the 2 hour mark, numbing's wearing off, sedation's wearing off. You know, I run all my own sedations, which is, it is what it is. But, like, you know, so now, like, they're getting a little cranky because now they're like, they've been, you know, so it's been fine to bring them back. Or my fear was, okay, print fail, you know, or whatever the error could be. There's no rush or whatever in the next day thing. But no, I need to try that.
Yeah, so
I want to learn the design.
In an ideal world, like if you've got exocad or 3Shape or whatever you want to use, the wax up's done, so you pick up your iCam data, you feed it in, and it's a 10-minute conversion to build in the perfect implant positions. The print is 30 minutes. The cure now, you know, with this new curing unit is, I don't know,
3 minutes,
whatever it is.
It's ludicrous.
3 minutes.
And so then you've got it, and it's right there, and you don't have to see them that second day. Because in my experience, the second day delivery sucks just as bad because they're tender. You know, you're trying to do all the stuff, and it's just chair time too, right? So if you can do all that while they're still somewhat numb, and then you're done with them, that's really the ideal scenario.
So, Corey, where do you see this going? Like, where we are today with this workflow? I mean, clearly there's some workflows that work, some that it don't. Like, where do you see this going in order to streamline this so that it's like a single, you know, theoretically this could absolutely be a same day simple procedure?
Yeah, I really think in the next 2 years the idea is going to be deliver the final on the day of surgery and you're done. And the only way you would come back and do any revision is if, you know, the gingiva doesn't heal to what you expect or whatever. But you know, with kind of the way we're designing things, like the provisional is your, it's a full arch healing abutment.
Right.
So the tissue heals to that. So if you design and deliver a perfect, perfect temp,
you should never have to worry about tissue drawback.
You don't have to do anything else. And so as the materials get better, it's going to end up being the final. You know, right now, if you need incisal translucency or whatever, it might be that you deliver the final shape that day printed, but eventually you convert it to zirconia with some cutback or something. But eventually I do see that we're going to be just printing the finals. Most of my patients, they want toilet bowl white. So the monochromatic issue of printing is a non-issue, frankly.
Yeah, I think that we're going to look back in 10, 15 years and fluoric zirconia will be like a flash in the pan on some level.
It's just like gold foils. Do you guys ever think about that? Like, right? In the 80s, like, what were they like? Whoa, we got to wear gloves. That's like the future. We got to wear gloves. Like, you know, we are so far beyond.
Oh, dude, the stories that you get to hear, though. I mean, I worked with a guy that, you know, my first job out of dental school, you know, we used to, this guy, he took over a practice. They'd been there for like 50 years. And they still, the patients when I was there still talked about this Dr. Valentine and his knuckles with his hair. I'm like, that was the world they lived in.
It was.
And you look at where we are now, where I'm like, we're dealing with AI and we're dealing with, I mean, we're talking about liquid resins that are over 50% ceramics. I mean,
the materials that mentally is weird to me.
It's blown my mind.
And stuff too, like, I don't know. I didn't really think the gains were going to come from the curing side of things. Where all of a sudden, it's like 30 minutes in the oven. Okay, whatever. That's just something you accept with
see,
printing.
It's funny because I actually, that was my always qualm with them, was a little bit of they. I felt like that we were not talking about that enough. That like, yeah, we can print really fast, but there's still a 25, 30 right. minute post-process.
But here's the thing. The auto flash has been around for a long time.
Yeah,
so that's not
we've
new.
We've been using that.
Yeah, so the technology, like the nitrogen, all that, that's been around. So we knew there was always the ability to cure faster. We'd just been, I mean, you got to remember when we started printing, what were we using? We were using freaking nail bed cures to like cure our resin.
Really, 18 months ago.
This was multi-purpose.
2 years ago.
I don't know when you guys graduated dental school. I graduated in 2012. We literally...
He's got COVID right now.
He does have COVID right now.
He's irresponsible. He didn't wear his mask.
Too soon.
So I don't really respect that.
Baron in August with the two people that I was like, where are they?
Like, we didn't even talk about 3D printing as a potential on the horizon. When I was in dental school, I graduated in 2012. Like, to something I essentially do every day, I would expect there would have been at least been the conversation. There was nothing.
Think about what a biomaterials lecture looks like in dental school now. Or what it should look like. It doesn't look like that.
They're probably still doing the exact same
thing. Gold, palladium, and all that stuff.
PMMA.
They're 15 years behind.
And they're doing it in year one when they still have no concept of what
biomaterials. All right, well, gentlemen, this has been fun. It's been good to chat with you all. You know, I'm excited about this. This is fun.
The future's bright, man. This is going to be a good ride.
It is going to be a good ride. All right. Corey Glenn, Tim Anderson, Rust-Oleum.
What?
He's a spray paint that can go on.
Yeah, it's
anything.
Multi-purpose,
why
right?
Why is it Rust-Oleum?
I don't know.
Like that
there
just,
was probably I don't know.
There was already a rusty.
I'm hoping there's some dude named Russell who's just like, hey. Just spray this paint. Why use a brush? We're just gonna spray it.
Everybody works smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.